You know,
I want to talk to us tonight a little bit about worry is not the answer. You know, people have a tendency, even God's people have a tendency to worry about things, and that's not God's way. We should trust him. And we're going to go into Matthew 6, and I'll read from New King James and then some from the NLT and some from some of the other translations. All right, it says, therefore I say to you, Matthew 6:25, guess I'll wait till y'all get there. I'm going a little fast. I do that sometimes. I got to slow down. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now that same thing from the New Living Translation is, so I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, clothes. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothes? Now here, this is Jesus talking, and he's telling us not to take any thought about our needs, but to learn to believe God's promises that he will supply our needs. See, if you worry about those needs, it causes you a lot of trouble. Worry actually is damaging to your health. When, you know, sometimes people have trouble sleeping because they're worrying about tomorrow, they're worrying about the next day, or they're worrying about the future. Sometimes worry so consumes people's thoughts until they don't even read the Word of God. They quit trusting God's Word. Worry will mess up your productivity at work. Worry will cause you to treat other people wrongly. Worry will eventually lead you to not trusting God. Now, sometimes we will confuse concern with worry. Now, worry puts us out of commission, but concern causes us to act and to take care of the situation. See, the same God that created life in you can be trusted to meet your every need. Don't worry about it. Trust God. Now, look at verse 26. Look at the birds. Y'all already there. We're just going to stay right there in Matthew 6. Look at the birds. They do not plant seed, gather a harvest, put it in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Now, what Jesus is trying to say here, if God can take care of the birds, how much more will he take care of his children? Now, worrying about the future will mess up your dreams for today. You know, don't worry about the future. Just live in today and trust the Lord. Now, a lot of people are worrying about this. Well, I don't know whether I'm going to have enough of this, and I don't know whether I'm going to have enough of that. Hey, put your trust in the Word of God, and let your concern cause you out, go out and to do the job that you need to do, but don't worry about it. I'm going to tell you what. If somebody said, if I worried about what everybody says about me and go read it on the internet and what they say about our ministry, I wouldn't get anything done. Somebody said, doesn't that bother you? No, it don't bother me in the least. Because most of it's not true in the first place. And secondly, what good is it going to do me to be all worried about it? I can't do anything about it anyway. And then besides that, I told the guy told me this. I said, I'm just doing what I feel like God wants me to do, and he'll take care of me. You see, you know, we had the gas crisis several years ago. I mean, about the mid-70s, I guess. And I had the whole team was going to California as soon as we got out of class school in May, Dad was going, and I was, he was driving his car. I was going with the kids, and I had a truck and trailer that we were all going out there, and we were going to be out there all summer on the West Coast holding meetings. And it was on the news. You might remember it, where they were long lines at the service stations to get fuel, and then some of the stations didn't even have fuel. And they kept, "Aren't you worried about that?" I said, "No, I'm not worried about it at all." They said, "Well, man, you ought to be worried about that. You got that whole team, everybody out there. You got to take care of them. You get out in the middle of the desert, you get out there somewhere, you can't get fuel." I said, "Well, wait a minute. If God can't take care of us, then we're in a big mess." I said, "If he took care of the children of Israel and fed all of those people when they needed food, give them water when they needed water, and it says their clothes didn't wear out. Anybody ever read that over there in the Old Testament about the children of Israel? If he can do that for them, well, we are his children in the New Testament through being born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been adopted into his family. And he'll take care of us if we'll believe him." And, you know, now I'm not telling you that you're not supposed to go out and work and you're not supposed to have a concern, but worry and concern are two different things. Worry causes you to be confused and, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do." And concern causes you to start making a plan to do something. And one of the plans that we need to make is that we believe what God said and trust him. How many of you got a Bible or a iPad or iPhone or something? Hold it up. Okay, how many of you believe this is the word of God? How many of you believe that you can trust God to perform his word? Then why are so many Christians, and I run into them all the time. Remember, I've been doing this 55 years, so I run into people all the time that are worried about the future. "Well, I'm concerned about what's the future, but I'm not worried about it because I turn it over to God." And I'll tell you what, if he can't take care of it, there's no use me worrying about it. Do you understand where I'm coming from today? But how many of you see people all the time that they're worrying about things all the time? How many of you? Let me see your hands. You see people. You run into them all the time. Even on your job, you probably run into people that are worrying about it. You know, one guy came and said, "Oh man, I'm just so worried that they're gonna lay me off and cut the force. Man, I'm worrying about it. I don't know what I'm going to do." I said, "Why don't you just believe God? If they cut you loose, just believe God to give you a better job." That's what we need to do. You know, Matthew 6:27 then says, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Or, you know, can you add height by worrying about it? No, doesn't happen that way. Can you lose weight by worrying about it? No. if you start worrying about it, you probably eat more. You know, if we're always worrying about tomorrow and next week and next year, can we grow with God? It's a question I asked you. Not usually, because you're so worried that you're not getting into the Word and reading. If you're reading the Word and if you knew what the Word says, you wouldn't be worrying about next year and tomorrow and whatever. You would be thanking God because he's got it all taken care of. You know, in verse 27, it says, "All the worry in the world is not going to add any height to you at all." Now, what are the results of worry? Does it produce any value? What is the result of reading the word and beginning to believe what the Bible says, and does it produce value? Yes. Yes. You see, worry makes things look bigger than they are. You ever noticed how a light can shine on a small object and make a big shadow? You know, when I was, probably about the eighth grade, I think, and my bed was back here in what we used as a, I was sleeping back where, because they had some, we had some relatives there, and so I was sleeping back in the den on the couch, and now I'm I'm asleep, and I hear this noise. It wakes me up. I'm a light sleeper. I always have been. Lynette says I wake up too easy, but with the kids, because if she goes to sleep and that's it, and if she gets woke up, she can't go back to sleep. So I could hear the kids. I'd always get up with them. So I heard this scraping noise, and so I raised up and looked, and, you know, now I'm in eighth grade, so you're talking about in the 50s, early 50s. And so, about 54, 53. And, you know, we didn't have Venetian blinds. We had shades. Anybody remember shades? You pull them down, and if they don't lock, if you let it go, it goes, boom. So, now, here is this. I would hear this noise, scrape down the side of the house, and then it looked like a hand come down, and it was made a shadow on that shade. Man, I got to, and I finally said, what in the world's the matter with me? And so I was scared at first, and then I guess I was got a little brave, so I got up and went over the door going outside, and I opened the door. And the old mimosa tree out there, there was a little limb about this long, and it had a few little deals skirting, you know, from the limb, you know. And the light from the neighbor's outside light was shining on that thing, and the wind was blowing it, and it was scraping on the side of the house. But man, it looked, you know, I mean, and there I was worrying, and afraid that somebody's going to get me over a little bitty limb that wasn't no big. The limb probably wasn't as big around as two of my fingers put together. And the little sprigs that were coming out on it were, you know, they were just, I mean, you could snap them in two. And yet there I was worried about that, afraid of a tree limb that was casting a shadow. That's what the devil likes to do. He likes to bring all of your problems and all, you know, it looks like you're not going to have enough. He likes to make you think that it's bigger than it is and it's worse than it is. And he likes to get you frustrated with all the circumstances of life and magnify them, and you begin to worry about them. And when you begin to worry, it takes you out of believing the word of God and trusting God. If you're really trusting God, you don't worry. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. Some of you are sitting there. I like my congregations to have some, at least some facial expressions, even if they don't. I like them to say amen or so be it or something every once in a while. I mean, you know. If you don't inspire me, I have to inspire myself. That's good preaching, Pastor Hagin. Go ahead. I believe I will. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. you know, it goes on then in verse 28 and so says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yes, I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven or is burned up, in other words, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, this is Jesus talking in this passage of Scripture. And he is trying to get you to understand that you don't worry about things. You begin to realize what God has said and begin to trust God and not worry. Did you know most people don't do that, even most Christians? Remember, I've been in this all my life. I was born on Sunday morning. My dad was pastor of Farmersville First Assembly of God Church in Farmersville, Texas. And I was born that Sunday morning, September 3rd, 1939, at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was in that church the next Sunday morning. I was born at my grandma and grandpa's farm. And because then the doctor come out to the farmhouse, and I wasn't even born in a hospital. I was born at the farmhouse. And the next Sunday, I was in church. I've been there all my life. I don't know anything but church. But, I mean, I grew up in this, and I'd see people come to Dad and talk to him, and they're worried about, well, oh, Brother Hagin, man, I tell you what, we didn't get enough rain. And I'm just afraid, because we was in Farmersville, Texas. Everybody in our church was farmers. And, you know, one guy, he's coming, oh, Brother Hagin, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, I'm just so worried about it. We didn't get enough rain. And now we've gotten too much rain. The harvest is not going to be good. Oh, I'm just so worried about it. And Dad tried to get him, said, hey, quit worrying about it. Go out there and walk up and down the rows of your crop and begin to say, in the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, this crop will prosper. That guy didn't do it. He just kept saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. And this other guy by the name of Paul Hinton. If some of you used to come to the camp meetings back years ago, Dad used to introduce Paul. He would come up. He was in that church. And Paul came and said, Brother Hagin, I tell you what, the weather hadn't been like it should be. You know that when I put the crop in, we didn't have enough rain. And now we got too much rain. And he said, I just thought I'd come and ask you what I need to do. And Dad told him, go do the same thing. So he went out and walked up and down the rows of his field and said, in the name of Jesus, I'm trusting God. And so the other farmers would ask him, say, aren't you worried about it? No, I'm not worried about it at all, boys. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to get a good crop because I'm trusting God. Oh, yeah, well, we know you can do that, but hey, be real, man, be real. He said, I am. That's what the Bible said. Amen. He said, Brother Hagin told me this. One man said, yeah, Brother Hagin told me that, but he don't know nothing about farming. All he knows about is preaching. And then Paul told him, said, well, hey, you better listen to him because he's telling you what God said. God said it, that he would prosper us no matter whether we have rain or shine or whatever, dry spell or whatever. And he had a big crop. Nobody else got a big crop. Guess what happens when the other farmers don't get a big crop and you get a big crop? The price for the grain or the cotton or whatever, corn or whatever, wheat or whatever it is, it goes up because, you know, that's the way it operates. You know, if you just believe God and call God to attention, call attention to his word. He says in Isaiah, put me in remembrance. Yes, amen. So I said, well, you can't tell God. No, you can't tell God anything, but you can call the word of God to his remembrance. Yes, amen. Oh, you can't order God around. Well, let me ask you a question. How many in here you had children or you got children? Or you got grandchildren? All right. If you, you know, I had a boy and a girl, I'd tell them, but I'll bring it down modern day. I got five grandsons, Cameron, Blake, Skyler, Trevor, and Wesley, 21, 18, 15, 14, and 11. And now, if I tell one of those boys, okay, if you do such and such, Poppy's going to do this for you. And they do that, and then they come up to me and say, okay, Poppy, I've done it. Now, I want that. You know, I tell them I'm going to buy them something or something. Are they ordering me around, or are they just demanding what I told them that they could have? Huh? They're just saying, hey, look, you said it. Now, where is it? We need to do the same thing with God. He is ready to give what he has said in the word, but you got to go ask him for it. It says, ask and you shall receive. Trust him. You know, believe that God will supply your needs. Don't worry. Depend on him. You know, somebody gave me, I got it over in my office at the house, and sometimes when the grandboys were smaller, they used to come in there and turn it on and says, and it says fish. And it starts singing, be happy, don't worry. And it'll flop out like this off of the wall. Ooh, be happy, don't worry. Hey, that's what we need to be. God's telling us, be happy, don't worry. I will take care of you. I'll give you what you need if you will trust me. Now, trusting God is not easy because everything in the world is going to be thrown against you to try to, and the devil will bring it to get you to worry. If you start worrying, you'll get out of faith. Faith and worry can't operate together. You either got one or the other. Hello? You know, worry actually shows lack of faith. Worry is fear triumphing over faith. Like I said earlier, it's you got to be concerned about some things and you got to take some action. But the word of God says, and when you come down through all of those verses, starting up there in verse 25, you get down to verse 33. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. What has he been talking about up there? Up through 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, all the way down to 33. He's been talking about clothes. He's been talking about food. He's been talking about what you need to sustain your life. And he says, instead of being, I'm going to read this from the TV, today's English version, instead of being concerned about everything else with the kingdom of God and with what is required of you, he will provide you with all of these other things. He said, instead, be concerned. Be concerned about the kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do what you have to do. You don't do the things that you're supposed to do, but it does mean that you don't worry. And you're more concerned about what God said, more concerned about the things of God than you are these other things. Hello. Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm sort of getting a little preach on now, you know. I do that occasionally. You know, I was an evangelist for many, many years. An evangelist, he preaches hard and fast, you know. Somebody said, well, what causes you to preach hard and fast? I said, well, it's exploding on the inside and you're trying to get it out. That's why. Worry will cause you not to seek after the things of God, but it will cause you to overlook what God said. It will cause you to be more concerned about the natural things than you are about the things of God. God has told us all in the Word of God, it's all here, that if you will be concerned about his kingdom, he'll take care of you. Amen. Hold your Bible up again. Say this with me. This is the word of God.
This
contains
everything I need.
for life and happiness and joy and protection and prosperity. Everything I need, from spiritual to natural needs. This is God's word to me, saying that I can have what he said in his word if I would believe it and act like it's so. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few minutes tonight, trying to get them to understand that too many times the devil tries to get us into worry. But if we will just trust you, you'll bring us out on the other side. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what. As you begin to trust God, there the devil will bring stuff to you, and he'll bring people by your way to try to get you away from trusting God. But if you'll keep believing God, he'll take you through. He'll deliver you out of, it says that he will deliver you out of them all. All of the things that are, but you got to trust God and you got to believe God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something out of that tonight. That was just, I see too many people that, and I've run into them recently, just talking to them. You know, they're concerned about, and well, not concerned, they're worried about what's going to happen to us. Oh, what do you think's going to happen? I told one guy, I was sitting, as you know, we go up to Branson. That's where we go for a few days to recuperate. And I was sitting there at the landing and sitting on a bench. And the guy sat down talking to me. And he didn't know who I was from Adam. And he started talking to him. And he said, you know, he said, I just don't know what's going to happen. I just don't know what in the world's going to happen. I said, well, I won't tell you. I said, no. It's going exactly what God said is going to happen. He said, oh, you must be a Christian. I said, yeah, I am. He said, I am too. I said, well, then why are you so good? Why are you so worrying about all this? The Bible has said in the last days these things would happen. This, it says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't mean we don't pray about it. Doesn't mean we don't do what we need to do about it. But don't worry about it. See, worry will get you out of trusting God. I trust God. I don't know about you. I'm like the Apostle Paul when he was standing on that pitch and rolling deck of that ship. When he knew that it was going to go down, he said, I believe God even as it was told me. See, God told him. He said, ship's going down, but y'all going to be all right. Hey, your ship may go down, but if you believe God, you'll be all right. You'll be like Paul. Oh, I'm gonna start preaching again if I don't shut up here. Every bed bowed, every eye closed. I never like to give a message and let I give somebody an opportunity to find Jesus, or to rededicate their life to God, or to find a know-so experience. Do you know we have hundreds of people that go to church every Sunday and they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not? They just go to church. Anybody like that? We believe in the Holy Spirit around here, according to the Bible, what the Bible says. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody on any invitation that I talked about, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Well, everybody stand up and thank God that we're all born again in this place. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right, we're going to sing. Let's go, Anthony.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord.
These young people don't know that old one, do they?
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust. trust you, how I prove you are and Lord. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more.
Hallelujah. It's great to trust in Jesus, isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hey, what was it? The other Sunday I preached Faith Takes Back, and I think then it's from one of my little mini books. They got some more out there. If somebody wanted one of them, you can go stop out there. All right, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock right here. Well, we're going to go back to the door, shake hands with y'all. Hallelujah. Fellowship with one another. Thank all of you that are first-time guests. Come back and be with us. You're only a guest the first time. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Praise God.